Pray with me. Father, we stand here in the power of Christ. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you have come and that you have united with us. And that through your Holy Spirit, you dwell in us. And this morning, you minister to us through your Spirit. We're thankful that we can come together here this morning. We're thankful for guiding us and protecting us through another week. We're thankful for your presence in our lives that we can experience when we reach out to you. And thank you also that you have journeyed with us through all the difficulties that we may have faced. Thank you that we can know that you will never leave us alone, that you'll always be with us, no matter what we face, no matter what we struggle with. And here this morning, we come to receive new from you whatever you have prepared for us, so that we can go into this week strengthened and prepared for the job and the task that you have called us to do. Thank you that we can be in your presence today and that we may meet you. That's our prayer, that's our desire, that's what we desire from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, kids, grade 1 to 5, and youth from grade 6 to 8, you are dismissed in your groups this morning. So are there any fresh air fanatics here this morning? Fresh air fanatics, you know, those who sit wrapped up in a blanket, icicles from their nose, you know, but fresh air, you know, you don't turn the heat on, fresh air. I don't know whether you know some of those. My wife is one of those. You know, she loves fresh air. Anywhere she goes, the window has to be opened. And then, you know, if we freeze or not, who cares? Fresh air. Fresh air is good. If you read about it, I actually looked at online, and online is all the wisdom, as you know. We find all the wisdom there. It has several benefits. Fresh air makes you happier. I don't know. Didn't work for me that well. I'd rather be warm, but makes you happy. But the reason behind it is it is rich in oxygen, and oxygen somehow works on your blood circulation and so on and on. So it makes you happy. Fresh air is good. Fresh air also cleans your lungs. In light of all the pollution that's out there and stuff that we often breathe in, especially in confined spaces like this one, fresh air is good to clean our lungs. Fresh air also strengthens our immune system. Well, it's another good benefit, you know. Fresh air strengthens our immune system. Fresh air is good for our digestive system. Well, if you have any issues with that, fresh air, that's what helps you. It helps the cell function, I guess, and all the other systems in our body. It reduces airborne illnesses and infections. That's no secret. You know, fresh air is good. So if we don't have any of those viruses floating around, I think it's okay. It increases your energy and sharpness of your mind. And then last but not least, what I found is you sleep better at night. So if you get fresh air, you sleep better at night. So open your window, sleep with an open window. Good to have fresh air, but not this morning. So just stay here with us this today. So all this said, the best thing to do this morning is let's get out and get some fresh air, isn't it? You know, here we are sitting confined in this air, and the air is circulated, and who knows what it's floating around. But it's sometimes, I think, also in some situations that we are journeying with, it's good to have symbolically some fresh air. Just a fresh wind of air blowing in and giving us new perspective, giving us new excitement, new hope, a new vision, so that we can move on. And sometimes it's good in some phases of our life that we have those moments when we get new strength and a new vision to live, because there's many reasons sometimes to be depressed, you know, and to be not doing too well in our life because there's so many issues, so many problems, so many struggles. Good to have a breath of fresh air. And I think that also the church ever so often needs a breath of fresh air. Just a new wind blowing so that we can see a new way, in a new way, the God, the task that God is calling us, the excitement in the air, and I think, a hope at least, that's something that we even feel if we look down the future for us as Grace Point. Well, today is Pentecost. It was mentioned this morning, and this had to do with fresh air. Because the Spirit and the word Spirit that's used in Hebrew and in Greek both means air or wind. So it has to do with this kind of wind that is blowing, a fresh wind that is blowing through the early church as they were together and caused quite a stir in those for those who are there. So here's the report. I want to read it to you, and then we just take some thoughts out of this one. It is in Acts chapter 2. And I read the first 13 verses. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm and filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear in their own language being spoken to by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the area of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They are just drunk. That's all." Well, there's always an easy explanation for everything, isn't it? They are drunk. So then we have this thing done and dealt with. Whatever happened there, this confusion. And as you know, this also made its way through church history, this story, as we try to understand what this story is all about. With the Spirit coming and the stir that it caused, like a mighty wind and tongues of fire coming upon those who were sitting in this room. And then most of all, the most exciting thing and the most interesting thing is those speaking in different languages. That those who were there were able to speak in different languages at this time. And as we go through church history, we know that many Christians have tried to repeat this kind of event and to make this happen again. However, as we look into this story, it is actually a description of a story, of something that happened in the past. And it's interesting how we often try to then repeat it, because there's nowhere said in the Bible you should now strive to do the same and experience the same. It is just something that happened in those days, and it was unique, and it was special, and it had a special meaning. As it says in this text, there were a lot of people coming together. It was the harvest feast where people come together and celebrate the fact that God has, that this harvest season has started. So they gave their first fruit of the harvest to God first of all, for to be thankful, but also in anticipation that the harvest will go well and that everything will out well and the harvest will be good. For the Jews, it also had a double meaning, because it was 50 days after the people of Israel experienced the release from the captivity in Egypt when they were slaves. And they celebrated this event with a Passover, where that God passed over, the angel of wrath passed over, and they were saved and rescued. So they moved out of Egypt, and 50 days later, they ended up at the Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, it was where God came down to Moses and or Moses went up to God actually on the mountain and came down and gave them the law. It was a very vital moment in the life of the church. So they celebrated that moment with Pentecost. They celebrated the law, the Torah, the giving of God to his people. And the Torah and this law had a very special meaning in their life. It actually was their life. Even today, if you would meet a Jew who is a practicing Jew, would live according to the Torah, the law, the things that are there with all these rules and regulations about being clean and the things that you can eat and some things that you are allowed to wear and which you are not allowed to wear. So all these rules are still there, and a devout Jew would still live accordingly. And this is the distinguishing part of who he is or she is. It is their way of life. It's how they do life, how they approach life, what life is all about, and how they look at life. Now that Luke reports this event had specific reasons. Because Luke, well, we don't know too much about Luke, but at least the audience to which he wrote, there were Jews. And all this had new events have some roots in some older events or some other prophecies in the Old Testament. So Luke reports this Pentecost event with several reasons, because it had parallels to Moses. Jesus and Moses were often put together and said, here is the new Moses. And the Moses is coming now, the new Moses is coming now, and he's giving us life. As I said, Moses went up the mountain and came down with the law. Several days before this event, there was the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus went up to heaven. And now he comes back, not with two tablets of the law, but with a spirit. A life-giving spirit. And he comes and enters this space in a new way. Now there is a new way of doing life. It was not just with this law of the Old Testament, but with the Spirit that he has given us. And as I said, it caused quite a stir. Several languages were spoken. Flames of fire came down, and some kind of a wind noise was made. All indications and ways how the Spirit came down and manifested itself in those days. For some, it was easy, as I said, to explain, because they said, well, they're all drunk. For Peter, it made sense in a different way. Peter stood up after all of that happened and all the commotion was going on there in Jerusalem. And you just have to imagine being there. You know, I was, when you ever take part in the international conference, you go to a international conference and you are there with people from all kinds of countries. I still remember some of those conferences when our movement has their main conferences. Used to be in Anderson, Indiana, then in different other places. And whenever I attended, it was always quite an exciting experience because you really meet people from all over the world. The common language is English, but there are still, you know, some who don't speak that English, so they have translators. So who speak, you know, translate simultaneously whatever is said into different languages. So there is this kind of language barrier. But now imagine they all come from all kinds of languages and all kinds of background, and that everyone hears whatever is shared about the work that God is doing in their own language without interpreter. Well, that's quite a stirring thing, because you see what's going on here. How can it be that I all of a sudden understand a different language, or that other person who speaks that language speaks in my language? How can that be? So it was quite confusing in those days. But then again, for Peter, it made sense. Peter saw this as a fulfillment of something that God told them that would happen. And he goes back all the way to Joel, and he says the following from verse 17 on. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. and your old man will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For Peter, it made sense. Here was God doing what he had promised to do, and it was described in Joel with very vivid images of the sun being darkened and the moon being red, becoming red, and these moments will come. Nothing of that actually happened here. Notice? The only thing that was noticeable that the Spirit of God came and people were, they said, prophesy. They were speaking great things in the name of God. Prophecy in the Old Testament and New Testament had little to do with predicting future events. But it had a lot to do with speaking God's work into our time, into their time. That's what prophets did. They spoke God's word into their time, what it meant for them, and interpret that for that time. And that's what happened here. People were given a new way of life. And now they were supposed to live under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, not of the law. And that was the general change from where they came from as Jews to the followers of Jesus Christ. Now it was under the Holy Spirit that we are supposed to live. The Spirit of God that is now guiding us and leading us. The Spirit of God under which we are now functioning and are working. And if you now read the book of Acts, you find that this is the main theme of the whole book, how the Spirit of God is now leading the disciples to do what they were called to do. It's a new way of life. The reference point was not the law. The reference point was not the Torah and looking up what it says. The reference point became the Holy Spirit. What is He saying? What is God sharing with us through the Holy Spirit? And how the Holy Spirit led them, that's where they went. Paul and other prophets and other apostles were reflecting on this change. You can read on this in the New Testament. We don't have time this morning to study all of that. But you can read how they tried to sort that out in their heads. It was new to them as well, because they would come from Jewish background. And they had to figure out what is life like now under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So the question remains now, Holy Spirit, now what is that? What is the Holy Spirit? And it becomes always sometimes a little bit, mystical when we talk about the Holy Spirit and what that is and how it works, and especially when it's combined with this kind of events, and we often are confused about that. And often then we feel groups of other churches who try to copy these kinds of events. And again, there's no judgment here, but it's simply that some try to copy the same kind of events and the same kind of things that are happening. So what is the Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit in itself is not new. He did not show up here for the very first time. The Holy Spirit was present from the beginning, from the start. You read the early descriptions of the creation of heaven and earth, and in that description, it was said that the Spirit of God hovered over creation, hovered over the unformed creation. The Spirit of God was already there and working. The question is only, how are we supposed to understand this? How are we supposed to understand what that is? It is simply this, and I would suggest that this simply this is God is that's how God relates to us. It's through His Spirit. It says in the Bible even that God is Spirit. And for us, it's often hard to understand, but all that it says, God doesn't have body. God doesn't have any physical manifestations like we do, like our body that we can touch, that we can see, that we can relate to. It's Spirit. God is everywhere as Spirit. And as such, He relates to all that is created as Spirit, Even in the Old Testament, he created, the Spirit was hovering over the waters. In Psalm 104, we have a little, or an indication how they looked at the whole, at the Spirit of God. It says in 104, it says, they all creation. By the way, Psalm 104 is this creation psalm that talks about the whole creation. It says, they all of creation, depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, spirit, they die and turn to dust. When you give them your breath, spirit, life is created, and you renew the face of this earth. Spirit, the Spirit of God is the way how God relates to all creation. It is the source of life, of all life. The life that He breathes into all living creatures. As it says in the Psalm 104, when you breathe into it, you give life. And He talks about all the different animals that are living. And God relates to them, as well as to us as human beings. When we were created in this creation story, they explained it this way, that He formed this clay models and He blew His spirit into them. Ruach, His spirit. And that became a living being. So in their imagination, this is how we are. We are alive. We are living. This principle of life is in us because God is relating to us through His spirit. And we have life because of His Spirit. He is there and working among us. And whenever the Spirit is manifesting itself, it becomes evident that there is a Spirit of life. Life-giving, life-sustaining, life-strengthening. The Spirit is the way how God relates to all flesh. It is His everywhere Spirit. It's His everywhere spirit, that He is not bound to by a physical body to something. He is everywhere at the same time, fully present. And He relates to all of us. Every human being is close to His spirit, reachable by His spirit. His spirit is the one through whom He contacts us, speaks to us, calls us close to us, moves in our lives. His spirit is the one who gives life to all that exists and all that is there. So His spirit is not new. It was not invented in Pentecost. It was there all along. But this time it came in power to give new life, or if you will, fresh air, to a new phase in the life of His church. It is there to breathe fresh air into some stale rooms, and to give new meaning to what it means to be a follower of God and of Jesus Christ. We are not waiting for a new Pentecost, but we are called to enter into the spiritual reality that the Spirit has created. And people of God over thousands of years have done so. Enter into this reality of the Spirit-led world of His kingdom. We are called to enter into this. We can say it in different ways. We are called to enter into the presence of God. Haven't we heard this? Just this past week, we were together with our staff for a staff retreat. And part of that was just talking about, you know, living in the presence of God. What is that? God is present. We don't have to make Him present. He is present all around us. He lives and fills this whole universe. How? By His Spirit. But we need to enter into this presence. He does not force His presence upon us in such a way that we are now become slaves and puppets. No, He invites us to enter into His presence. He wants to be wanted. And it's for us as followers of Jesus or whoever we are to enter into this praise and into His presence. And God says in His word, you know, whoever calls on Me, I will answer. So we reach out to His presence. We reach out to Him being there. We don't have to call Him down and make Him here or somewhere. We are in His presence. As I mentioned before, what I often taught my kids is just like air, God is there. God is around us, surrounds us. He is there where you are, right now. where you sit, wherever you are. When you go home and you're in your home and you're at your workplace, God is there, present, real. And He is so by His Spirit. And this is the new realm in which He is inviting us to live, that He is not this stale God who lives with laws and tablets. He lives as a moving, dynamic Spirit today. And He invites us into this movement. Wherever He is, wherever He moves, and God is not stale and stuck there in 2,000 years. God is moving today with you and wants to breathe fresh air into your life. We are called to live in the realm and presence of Jesus. And He calls us now to open our minds, that it is mainly through our minds that we are connecting with His Spirit. Connecting with His presence. That we open up our hearts and our minds and focus on Him. To focus on Him. See, God, as I said, is not, usually not, forcing Himself on us. People still, ever so often God does certain things that are inexplainable. And we understand that. God sometimes comes to people and they have no idea and all of a sudden they meet Him. But the normal way of connecting with Him is through our mind and through our focusing. Said, God, I want to be with You. I want to live in Your presence. Who are You? And then we start thinking about it. And God speaks to us through then His Word. It becomes the way how we understand how God has done it in the past. And that we're entering into the stream of God moving in this world with our intention to follow Him. And let the Spirit now guide and lead us. And the one main thing in which we are experiencing His presence and where we would like, where we are expressing His presence when we come together in worship, it is one way of us responding to Him, to what He has done, and how we have experienced Him. And that we respond to Him and say, God, You're wonderful, You're great. Worship is always response. It's not that we conjure up something. It is just responding to something, to what God has done. We are living, worshiping, working in the realm of the Spirit. That is the continuation of Pentecost. That we are living here in His presence and that we can reach out to Him. And as we do so, He will respond and come and live in us. Here are some questions that I found in Dr. Gilbert Stafford's book, Discipleship for Theology for Disciples. As he contemplates on the work of the Spirit today in us, here are some questions to think about. Are we planning and leading services on the assumption that God's gracious Spirit is already poured out, or do we lead worship in the false assumption that we need to conjure up the Spirit? Do we lead worship with the assumption that the Spirit is here? Or do we lead worship that we need to conjure up the Spirit that He finally comes and shows up? He says we either lead in trust in God's ability to do superabundantly more than we ask or think or whatever it takes to create, or we do whatever it takes to create moods and responses in worship. Which is, in other words, crowd control versus sensitivity to the Spirit. The Spirit is poured out. The Spirit is present. God is present. And I am not called to conjure up Him and to create moods and to create certain things. And when they happen, you know, then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God's moving. You know what truth is? You go to any concert. And you see people freaking out about whoever is playing there. And they're all in heaven, seventh heaven, and screaming and have experiences there. And it has nothing to do with the Spirit of God, does it? It's music. And music can do it. Nothing wrong with it, by the way. You know, that's music. But the Spirit of God doesn't need this kind of stuff. The Spirit of God doesn't need us, our help. He is there. And we connect with Him, respond to Him, and we act on the faith that He is there and will use whatever I bring for His glory and purposes, because whatever I bring is insufficient to bring Him down. I'll just bring my gifts and he will do whatever it takes. Other questions that he asked. Are the holy fire and the holy wind preparing the people of God for divine mission? Or are God's people using the fire and wind for their own enjoyment? That's the question Pentecost asks us. Is it for our own enjoyment that we have excitement and we build it up and we have a wonderful experience and then we go home and then what? Or is it doing what the Spirit of God did then? It empowered them for mission. The outpouring led to witness beyond the space of this service. You can read it up in this whole book in Acts. Pentecost led to an ongoing nurturing of the faithful people. They came together in prayer, in teaching, and sharing meals. That's what the Spirit did. It wasn't there for their own enjoyment and, oh, be happy and go home and then be the old person. No, it led them to an entirely different life. It led them to an ever-widening mission. The worship service on that day did not turn participants inward. It turned them outward. Is the Spirit of God doing this in you today? And I would just say this would be the true mark of a Spirit's work. It's not that it turns us inward and we are still happy and it's all about me and what I experience. It's about what it does through me, outside of me, what it does in me and through me as I leave and as I enter my day-to-day life. And as the Spirit of is moving me there and equips me to do that kind of work there. Some more questions. Do our services of worship get us beyond the walls with the good news? Do our worship services have evangelical consequences? Do they serve as an impulse for committed study, fellowship, communion, and prayer? Do they catapult us into divine mission with an ever-widening circle of influence and witness? Or do they keep us insulated from the wider world? Are they private services for our own personal enjoyment? Do they downplay such importance, the importance of such matters of discipline of the Spirit, growth in covenant community, being schooled in the heritage of faith? Do they want us to come back for more of the same kind of experience? Or are they sending us forth to disseminate and to change the people around us? Do our worship services make us come back for the same kind of experiences? Or are they send us forth into this world to change the world and bring the kingdom of God where we are? Pentecost. Pentecost was not for our own and is not for our own enjoyment. As much as we enjoy it, as much as we enjoy it to be in the presence of God, as much as fresh air really changes us and gives us sometimes even elating experiences, but it always moves us out. Out to the people where we live, out to the world in which we live, out to the workplaces where we live, out into the families where we live. That's where we live out the Spirit moving in us. What are we doing today when we leave this place? Let's pray. Father, we want to pray with yet another good old song. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Move us freshly into this world and into the places where we are living, where we have to manage our daily lives, where we sometimes get tired and depressed and stressed out, and the places where true life happens and not where we are always on the high. But that's exactly where you move us out, God, and where you want to empower us to live our lives out there. Holy Spirit, you are present. You are God's presence today for us. We want to focus our mind on you. We want to not live so oblivious of your presence and be so self-absorbed in our own lives. We want to reach out to you. We want to spend time every day to just connect with you and to make us aware of your presence in our lives so that we live in a place where you want us to be. And then we want to take those moments that you grant us in your presence and translate them into mission into becoming those people who are reaching out to others by loving them, because you are a spirit of love. But truly show them what it means to be accepted and being loved without condition. And we live in a world where people hunger for this. We're often so judgmental and have our opinions about this and that and all kinds of people and how they live. God, help us to get over it and to be people of love. To reach out to them and accept people. Accept for them for who they are. And let us show them that they are loved by God by how we act. There's so much to do, God. And we need your Spirit to empower us, because it goes beyond our power. It goes beyond our ability. It goes beyond our strength. But that's why we're here today, to ask you again, come, help us. And let us do the work that you have called us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.